The spirit of performance is what defines Acura. And now, it's electric. Introducing the ZDX, Acura's most powerful SUV yet. Crafted using the same formula that brought them electrified supercars and multiple IMSA championships, the ZDX has track-tested performance that packs an energy all its own. Unlock the energy and order yours at Acura.com.
Blog Talk Radio.
Good afternoon and welcome to the Hoosier Huddle podcast. Today we are going to preview the Indiana defense. I'm your host, Sammy Jacobs. Our co-host, TJ Inman, will be along with us shortly to go over that defense. We are 8 days away, a week and a day away from kickoff. It's coming quickly, so we're going to go over the defense. We'll have our pregame show sometime next week. TJ, welcome to the show. How are you?
I'm doing very well, Sammy. Always enjoyable to talk football, but it's definitely much more exciting and I think makes for the best shows here right before we kick off the season and we can actually, you know, not just theorize things. We start to see the product onto the field, and that's what's in sight. Like you said, just 8 days out, so really – in theory, tomorrow is kind of the start of quote-unquote game week preparation for the team. So I'm not sure when they're headed out to Florida, but it's right here. They're in their final run-up to practice. I know that we've seen them for the last the game kicks off. So from here on out, it's kind of them into kind of lockdown mode and getting everything finalized before they head up to Florida and take on the Panthers. And, you know, all the information that we have is what we're going to share here on the podcast with the defense. I'm excited to talk about the defense because I think there are a lot more question marks with this and a lot more unknowns with this defense than what we had with the offense, which was, you know, the offensive line, we know what we got. The running backs, we know of, you know, a lot of different options, but we feel good about that group, regardless of who ends up getting the carries. The wide receivers, obviously, we know what we have there. A ton of quality options. Major unknown is the quarterback, but with defense, we feel good about there being progress. It's just a matter of how much progress, and there's so many more question marks and open positions, if you will, heading into the season with the defense than we have with the offense.
Yeah, nobody's job, maybe Tigre Scales and Marcus Oliver at linebacker and Fant at corner and Crawford, but most of that defense was up for grabs in terms of playing time. Nobody, you know, with the new coordinator coming in, it had to be earned instead of given, and that was something that changed the culture around a little bit, I think. And something that Kevin Wilson was looking for as well. So, TJ, let's start out. We're going to do the same format as we did last week. If our listeners listened last week, we're going to go over each position group in detail, but we'll start out by giving our MVP or player to watch in that position group. Let's start on the back end in the secondary. My MVP is Jonathan Crawford back there. He's a true sophomore from Largo, Florida. He led IU in interceptions with 4 last year. I believe he was the 3rd leading tackler with 76 tackles last year on the team.
Yep.
And as a true freshman, he was very, very impressive. And in fall camp, he's been a playmaker all in fall camp, making diving interceptions, breaking up passes, making big hits. So he's my defensive most valuable player in the secondary.
Yeah, I think there are 2 candidates for this spot. One is Rashard Fant, the number one corner. The other is Crawford, the number one safety. I'm with you. I'm going with Crawford. And it's not a slight to Fant because I think that he's been, you know, steadily improving as a corner. And I think it's, you would expect he's in line for his Crawford. I think the word you used, playmaker, I think that perfectly describes him. You know, he showcased that throughout high school, and he brought it to Bloomington and just kept doing it. He just keeps making plays for the defense. there's going to be some times where he was a little bit out of position last year, got burnt a couple times with being a little bit too aggressive perhaps, but for the most part, you're not going to fault him for that because he's trying to make plays. So I think you're looking for that positional awareness to improve a little bit in his second season. You'd expect that to improve, but you're just going to want to continue to see him make those plays, make the interceptions, make the big hits as a safety, which you're hoping to get. I was thinking about this. If he continues on this trajectory, for the next 2 or 3 years, he's got a shot to be IU's best safety since what? Since who? And I couldn't come up with a name, really. I think his potential is that high that he could be as good a safety as Indiana's had in my lifetime.
Yeah, definitely. And Indiana's safety play really hasn't been all that good. You'd think of guys like Will Myers, who made that spectacular interception against Iowa. And then, of course, he had Austin Thomas and Nick Polk during that 07 bowl run and into 08, who were very solid players. But there hasn't been a playmaker like Jonathan Crawford there in a long, long time. It's something that will solidify that backside. The coaching staff loves him. He's now a year older. He's used to the physical wear and tear of the Big Ten. Last year, the popular story out of Bloomington was that kid, I think, played 900 and some odd plays and was so exhausted that he couldn't do one push-up. So it's the next year he's faster, stronger, and you would hope that he's more adjusted to the college game where he can conserve a little energy for that back end. Indiana will play 10 Power 5 teams in a row to end the season after the early bye week. So there's that meat of the season where people, it's like the dog days in August for baseball where people are going to get worn down. They're going to have their nicks and be banged up. So maybe this year is the year he can adjust to that and really, become a force more consistently on the defense. But let's move out to the other safety positions. You see Chase Jutras should be back. He's been limited in camp dealing with injuries, but when he's been on the field, he's been very, very productive. You saw him in 2014 come on as a redshirt freshman. He had a couple picks against Purdue, a pick against Michigan, and be a very productive player. So him and Crawford back there really make a dynamic duo at safety who could get those takeaways and rip at the ball in the run game and really lay a licking on you as a offensive player. If you're coming across the middle, you got to look out for number 9 and number 30.
Yeah, I like that duo a lot. I think there's a lot of potential there. I just worry Chase Dutra has really had so many injury issues that it's very durability is a big concern in that spot. I think that if Chase Dutra can stay healthy for a majority of the season, he and Crawford can form a really good tandem. And it's not just a matter of, the production on the field that he provides. You want continuity between those two. You want them to be able to be on the field together for a lengthy period of time so that they can get used to playing with each other, kind of, know each other's tendencies just instinctually and not have to really think about, okay, what's Chase going to do? What's Crawford going to do? They just have been on the field enough together that they kind of instinctually know it. That's going to help you, play better defense in that case, play quicker, just react quicker. And if Dutra is injured and not able to practice or not able to be on the field, you're not going to get that continuity either. So it's not just a matter of production on the field. It's kind of the each other part of it as well. I think it's really important that Dutra is able to play because I don't see a ton of proven production behind him. I like some of the options behind him potentially, but we haven't really seen it. But I do think that this is a pretty good group of safeties But those two, I think, are the top two, and there's not much question about it.
Yeah, and going into the depth at safety, Dutra being limited in camp has opened more opportunities for Tony Fields and Jameel Cook to get a look, and as well as Leon Thornton moving from corner after moving from receiver to safety.
Yeah,
he's another guy with good hands and great instincts. I think they moved him because of his size. He's another 200-pound defensive back who, you know, is a big athletic body with good instincts and great hands to get those takeaways. But, you know, Jameel Cook and Tony Fields made big plays last year. Jameel Cook had a 96-yard interception return for a touchdown that sealed the game against FIU last year, actually saved the game. You know, who knows what happens if that play goes the other way and FIU scores a touchdown to tie the game up or potentially take the lead. And who knows where the season goes. And then Tony Fields had an interception against Wake Forest that he returned for a touchdown. So they're both playmaking safeties. They were both banged up. Jameel Cook's finally back healthy after missing most of the year last year at the end. And Tony Fields is, you know, he's now, I believe, a junior, and he's really come on well in practice. Coaches have been talking highly of him, and we'll see where it goes. So the depth, I think, is as good as it – talent-wise, is as good as it's ever been in the secondary and at the safety position where you're not – you could go two and maybe even three deep instead of just, you know, three total players going for one going for two spots. Now you could have, you know, if Jonathan Crawford needs to be taken out of the game or Chase Dutra's not back healthy enough, you have a little bit more confidence with these guys stepping in. And TJ, we'll talk about the Husky as its own position because it is different than a true safety. And the Husky position to me is most interesting because they start a 17-year-old in Marcelino Ball there, and he's been absolutely fabulous at camp, in fall camp, and is a guy who's jumped the page on defense. Yet you have guys at safety, and you have depth at safety now where you could go two, maybe even three deep with minimal drop-off between the ones and the twos, and a little bit more on the twos and threes, but you could feel comfortable to where you're putting out athletes who can hold their own against other Big Ten athletes.
Yeah, the Husky position, I guess we can move to that now. You know, this is a new position within the IU defense under Tom Allen as part of his 4-2-5. The Husky's kind of that fifth guy in the secondary. You know, it's commonly referred to as kind of a hybrid linebacker defensive back spot. I think it's much more defensive back than it is linebacker. But it is going to be a very interesting position to watch evolve as the season moves on and as guys kind of settle into it. And we see who's going to get the nod there. Like you said, Marcelino Ball is a guy that I think as Thompson, we kind of expected to be the guy that sort of took this position, you know, by the horns. And unfortunately, that hasn't really happened due to a turf toe injury for him. And it's opened the door for a number of guys, Ben Bach, Marcelino Ball, Zeke Walker, being the three that come to mind right away. Marcelino Ball, the most interesting of the guys, just like you said, he's, you know, 17 years old, comes from a football family. We've mentioned him a couple times here on the podcast because the coaches continue to talk about how his play has really impressed them during camp. I mean, you've seen it. He's physically looks like a star.
You don't think of a 17-year-old.
No. So I'm really, really anxious to see how, number one, just how the Husky, and I went back and watched some, you know, we hired Tom Allen. I went back and watched some USF film from last year just to kind of see what the 4-2-5 looked like and kind of get in my head, okay, this is what the Husky position is going to look like when, you know, maybe it's Ben Bach or maybe I was not thinking Marcelino Ball at that time. When he came to IU, I was thinking there's a guy that's probably going to redshirt because of his age. And it does not appear to be the case. He's not going to redshirt. Whether he starts or not, he's definitely going to be a part of the rotation in there. I think that Ben Bach is a player that a lot of people tend to overlook because of his kind of lack of pedigree coming to Indiana. Now he's a walk-on. Kevin Wilson has shown time and time again he doesn't care about that. If you earn your spot on the field, it doesn't matter if you're a walk-on or not, you're going to play. So Ben Bach's going to play as well. Zeke Walker, a guy that has, you know, played multiple spots for Indiana. Another bigger guy. These are just kind of bigger defensive backs that I'm hoping are going to be able to help Indiana cover the bigger wide receivers in the Big Ten while also providing run support and help out the run defense and kind of augment the defensive line in run situations. And you could see some of that in obvious rundowns. You might see one player that's a little bit stronger against the run. You know, maybe that's a Zeke Walker. You might see him, the Husky. And in past situations, maybe you see a Ben Bach who has, you know, transitioned from the traditional defensive back role to the Husky spot. So it's really interesting. I think the starter against FIU is, I'm going to predict it's going to be Marcelino Ball just because we've heard so many good things about him. And then I think you'll see Ben Bach and Zeke Walker also get playing time during the opener. I don't know if you envision anyone besides those three getting opening day minutes, or if you had different thoughts about who you think is gonna line up as kind of the rotation, or if you agree with that.
As far as what we've seen in practice, and it's hard to tell with Jamie Thompson being out, if he's back, I believe they'll try and get him and work him into the rotation. Will he start? Probably not, just because he's missed so much time.
Have been no updates on him, right? There have been no updates beyond at the turf toe.
Yeah, there have been no updates. He was in a boot at the beginning of camp. The end of camp, it looked like he was out of the boot, but that's not, I can't confirm, that. And hopefully when we talk to coaches on Friday for game day, somebody will ask about Jamie Thompson's availability for the game and all of that stuff, injury news, who's available to dress for the game and all that stuff. But you'd think even if he's available, let's say, hypothetically, he did come back for the final week of camp, final week of practice. He's still, the thing with the turf toe is it's not like an arm injury or you broke your arm where you could do the cardio work and all of that stuff. The turf toe is you're limited in your running and it's tougher to get into game shape. Whereas they're going to ease him in. It's somebody that they need for Big Ten play. It's somebody who you don't want to rush back. They have enough talent at Husky position to go up against FIU and Ball State and Wake Forest. And I think you're right in terms of there is going to be rotation. If FIU is normally a two tight end team, two tight ends and a running back, and maybe you see a Zeke Walker start with a bigger body. But Marcelino Ball has been very, very impressive. And I would be shocked to see him start as a true freshman at that position as they're trying to get Jamie Thompson back. But a lot of it's going to be dictated on personnel matchups. So if FIU comes out running the ball, maybe see Zeke Walker. If they come out throwing the ball and maybe they're the faster guy, you see Ben Bach and Marcelino Ball. But you'll probably see all three of those guys. As it's going to be super duper hot in Florida. From what I hear, it's literally like walking into a steam room. So that should be super duper fun for us and super tiring for the fans as well as the players. You'll see all those guys. Don't be surprised if you see Jamie Thompson come in later in the game for a handful of plays. But the guy to watch is Marcelino Ball at that position. And it is going to be – it is almost like a nickel linebacker type of position where if IU fans are listening, if you have a Big Ten Network subscription, go on, watch. South Florida played Maryland last year. Forgot what week it was. It was early in the season. But go watch the replay of that game so you could get used to, you know, if you have questions about that defense. You know, South Florida ultimately lost to Maryland, but it's good to get used to and see where that Husky plays. And you could see them play down at the line, back in the backfield. So, you know, it's really going to be an interesting position to watch in terms of how they use it, where they're rushing guys from. And it's going to be fun. That's the big thing about this defense is the energy. They've had so much energy during camp. Even 3 weeks in when we went, they're flying around, you know, still excited. Where if you've ever had preseason practice for a sport, usually after the third or fourth day, it's like, oh God, here we go again. Why are we doing this? And enthusiasm wanes as it goes on. But to see the energy level at week three, it should be encouraging to fans looking for improvement. They have a little bit of swagger. They have self-belief, which is a term that Kevin Wilson says is key. It's not cockiness, but they believe they could do it. And that's step one in doing anything is having that self-confidence and self-belief into doing it. And so, you know, but we won't see it until it hits the field. If, you know, people want proof, and proof will be on the field in 8 days when this defense lines up against a very solid FIU offense. But let's move to linebackers, strength of the defense right now, which so much depth, TJ, but they do go from three linebackers to two, which might cut away some people's playing time. I think right now you have to pencil in Marcus Oliver and T-Gray Scales as your starters. They're the most athletic linebackers. They're talent-wise, they're the best linebackers. Marcus Oliver finished with 112 tackles last year, you know, first time since 08 when Matt Mayberry did it. So it's a position where there are a lot of guys, and you've seen a lot of linebackers move. One guy who has moved positions is Clyde Newton. He's, you know, we forgot to put him in our running back preview last week, but he's a guy who's going to get some carries, who in the fourth quarter, if IU has a lead, you're going to see them, you know, give him and Tyler Nady the ball to run that 4 minute offense to wear down those, you know, defensive backs. And it's not going to be fun for a defensive back to try and tackle Clyde Newton. It's more like, right, you know, you get in his way and somehow he falls down than you actually, you know, putting a real hit on him. So you've seen positions move around, and one guy who also might be left out of the rotation, who's played a lot of good football for IU, is TJ Simmons. But you're going to have a lot of guys in there. You know, Damian Willis is a guy who who coaches have mentioned, and Coach Inge has been high on. Raekwon Jones is another guy, is a young guy getting into the playing mix. So the body types are younger, faster, more athletic linebackers who are going to move side to side better, who play in coverage, and who could rush the passer as well. And you have that in Oliver and Scales. And this linebacking core, it's not the best, you know, it's right. They're a solid linebacking core in the Big Ten, and they're the best unit on this defense.
Yeah, I think so. Definitely the front two you feel really good about. You feel really good about Marcus Oliver. He improved so much before last season, and just I really came into his own as a player and a leader for the defense. He's going to be kind of the quarterback there in the middle of the defense. He's going to be getting things aligned and making sure everybody's where they're supposed to be, which is not going to be easy. With this, you know, new defense, there are going to be some growing pains for sure. And I think it's important that we keep in mind it's the defense in week one is not going to look how it does come the end of the season. There's going to be a transition period. There's going to be, like I said, some growing pains. It's going to be hard for us to, at least for me, to not, you know, we've heard so much about how much of a difference Tom Allen is making. I'm going to try really, really hard to keep my expectations in check and just, you know, look for progress. That's what I'm going to do. I'm going to look for progress from the linebackers, from the defense as a whole. Just look for, you know, progress week to week and continued improvement throughout the course of the season. And we saw that with Marcus Oliver. He just came into his own. He's my MVP of the linebacking unit. T-Gray Scales is a guy that was not healthy last year, and it showed his play lacked a little explosiveness, which I'm hoping to see back in there. I think he can be – I think what you'd ideally like to have happen is that T-Gray Scales can kind of provide some pass rush help for a unit that, you know, we'll talk about it with the defensive line, but I think pass rush is probably the weakest part of this defense heading into the season, or at least the part with question marks about it. And T-Gray Scales is a guy that's athletic and quick enough to really provide the offensive lineman some problems if he's unleashed in that way, which based on what we expect, you know, I think that is going to happen some. You're going to see T-Gray Scales rush the passer some. And I'm hoping to see some of that explosiveness that we saw in his freshman season return, because he was just not 100% healthy. The question mark I have with the linebacking unit comes when those two are off the field. I know that they really like Damian Willis, and you know, he showed some solid play in flashes last season. I like T.J. Simmons as a, you know, veteran presence. And then Raekwon Jones, got the physical profile of, you know, a linebacker that should work very well in this system. You know, a guy that I had a question for you about as to where he fits in the linebackers, or if he fits in there at all, is going to be Amari Stringer. Not, you know, he's a redshirt freshman, much like Raekwon Jones. They were kind of guys that came in drawing comparisons to each other. I'm not really sure where Amari fits in, and then I'm not real sure where Copeland fits in either. So, Chris Covington, former quarterback, has been in multiple spots. Where do you think those two guys end up falling in the rotation?
Well, I think Covington is we'll start with him since he has, you know, played some, and he's played a lot in fall camp. And I think he's farther ahead right now than Omari Stringer. But Covington's it's an area where this is the danger of moving Clyde Newton to running back is,
yeah,
he was a very, very good linebacker for IU last year. And he's a guy who would be very quality depth at linebacker. And I wouldn't rule it out seeing if you're going against, look, if Indiana's going against a heavy run team and they're up by a, you know, 7 to 10 points in the fourth quarter and they need a stop, don't be shocked to see Clyde Newton out there making plays.
Or,
you know,
if injuries come up. I mean,
or if you could have a couple guys get out.
Yeah,
exactly. It's, you know, you want your best players on the field, and he was a very good linebacker. But Chris Covington's a guy who's very athletic. He has good instincts at linebacker. He wanted to play there last year. And as Wilson has said in the past, the best thing for the team is to do what's best for the player. That way, you know, he's happy. He's not, you know, creating issues in the locker room or off the field in terms of attitude. But he's a guy who's bought into this defense. He's an athletic guy. He's quick. And I think he's a good fit to plug in if Oliver and Scales need a break. Hopefully they don't need breaks at the same exact time where you could just, you know, kind of like basketball where you could take one guy out, plug another in, and then take the other guy out and plug him in. But for the most part of the game, play Scales and Oliver together. It'll be interesting to see the linebacker substitution patterns. But, you know, Damian Willis is probably the clear number two. And Chris Covington is in there as well in terms of that. But it'll be tough to see who else gets in there, whether or not Raekwon Jones could break into that two deep. Omari Stringer, who, you know, is a good recruit coming to IU, whether he breaks into the lineup. It's just there's so much depth in terms of talent in front of them. Did they have enough to get in there for a few plays at least? But it'll be an interesting position to watch. It'll be interesting to see where Clyde Newton comes in, if at all, on defense. It's all speculation. You know, we never saw him being used on defense in practice. And he's been terrific at running back, and Coach McCullough loves him. But, you know, for a team that hasn't beaten Ohio State or Michigan since, you know, the late 80s, when push comes to shove and you need a big body in there to make a tackle on third and three or fourth and three to win the game, if I were coaching, man, you got to put your best linebacker or best, you know, your best players on defense in the field. And if that means taking Clyde Newton off of offense and playing them both ways a little bit, you got to do it, because a win like that will go a long way. But Clyde Newton also could go the other way. If IU has the ball and is up, you know, 3 or 7 points and needs a first down to seal it, he could be that guy to do it for you too. So, you know, maybe he'll seal a game on both sides of the ball this year. You never know. And that'll be a fun little tidbit if it does happen. You know, it'll be interesting to see. Now the biggest question mark on the defense today is the defensive line. Indiana's moving back to a four-man front. They lose Darius Latham, Zach Shaw, and Nick Mangieri, who all played good football for them last year. You know, say what you want about Darius Latham. He was a talented player. He did make some plays. Did he make enough plays? Probably not to meet the expectations of his talent level. But he was a guy you could, you know, mostly count on starting. But, you know, replacing those guys are going to be tough. But you have Ralph Green and Nate Hoff back. I think the most valuable players are those two. And it's a package deal. If those two guys in the middle, a defensive tackle, can get a push, that'll open everything up for the defense. It'll let, you know, if you end up having to double team one of them, it might let one of these edge guys like Jacob Robinson come off the line. A big issue I think for them is losing Robert McCray for at least half the season with the shoulder injury, and we'll see when and if he comes back. I think it's more when than if. But he's a guy who played a lot of ball last year. He's a guy who was penciled in as a starter. He had 17 tackles, 5.5 tackles for a loss. But he's a guy who, you know, you could count on for snaps and some plays in the backfield. So to me, Ralph Green and Nate Hoff are the keys. If they could get back to where they were their freshman years, especially Nate Hoff, who, you know, was almost non-existent last year. And that's tough for a guy who's 300 pounds is to basically be non-existent on the field. But if he could get back to his all Big Ten freshman season, and if Ralph Green could be more consistent in his play and get back to where he was as a freshman, he wasn't terrible last year, but, you know, if he could grow at the rate we expected him to grow as a player, that defensive line, it'll go a long way in shoring up that D-line. And then, of course, the biggest issue on the D-line is pass rush coming off the edges. And right now you have Jacob Robinson, who's he's close to 300 pounds too. And he's a guy who maybe later in his career will move inside, but does he have the quickness and speed to come off the edge at one DN spot. And then, you know, who knows who's going to be at the other DN. You have Greg Gooch and Nile Sykes, and freshman Alan Stallings, who to me is one of the more intriguing players, cause he is that speed guy, the traditional edge rusher you think of in a 4-3 defense, who could bring a speed rush to the edge. But it should be encouraging. I think the last day we saw practice, Nile Sykes picked off a pass and went in for a touchdown, or what would have been a touchdown if Tom Allen didn't jump him on the way to the end zone, which, yeah, I'm pretty sure he knows that that's not allowed in the game. He can't get out in front of a corner and pick six and knock defenders out of the way. But, you know, it's encouraging. These guys have improved. They're getting used to the positions. And another defensive lineman to keep an eye on is Jamiris Bowen. He made a couple big plays in some of the practices we've seen too, and he's getting used to playing defense. And Coach Hagan has done an excellent job in coaching these guys up, getting them ready, and getting them the reps that they need to be ready to, you know, try and not be the weak link of the defense, and try and not be the reason that IU doesn't win a big game or doesn't, you know, get to another bowl game. That's, I think, you know, playing with that chip on their shoulder, it will help them.
Yeah, this is definitely the, in my opinion, the unit on the team with the most question marks, and it does have the potential to be a weak link. Certainly not a guarantee that it will be, because I think Mark Hagan was a huge hire for Kevin Wilson, and I he's a guy that has really succeeded everywhere he's gone as a head or as an assistant coach. I think that he's already made a positive impact just based on things we've heard from practice, things that you've seen, things that the players have said. I think he's a guy that can really help at a position that Indiana desperately needs it. And, you know, if you need further proof of that, just look at what they're doing in the 2017 recruiting class. It's a big area of focus for them, is bringing in more defensive linemen, because they don't have the type of depth, and Kevin Wilson has said this, they don't have the type of depth that they need to have and you'd feel comfortable to have in the Big Ten East, because it's such a rugged division. Guys are going to get beat up at this position, and the biggest area of concern there is on the interior. Robert McCray being out, it's a hurt. You know, that's why Jacob Robinson is bulked, is to so that he can have that flexibility to play inside when needed, and it will be needed, because after Green and Hoff, you don't have any proven guys on the interior now without McCray. I think that Ralph Green and Nate Hoff would both tell you they were not pleased with the way that they performed in 2015. I think that they're both looking for some redemption. And I think that they both, as you mentioned, they're playing with chips on their shoulders. They've talked about wanting to prove that last year was a fluke, that they can do much better, because neither of them really performed up to expectations in 2015. So I'm in agreement with you that those two are kind of the ones that are most needing to have big years if this Indiana defensive line is going to produce. And then on the edge rushers, Jacob Robinson, Alan Stallings, Brandon Wilson, a redshirt freshman that has the look of a guy that, you know, both him and Stallings look like guys that should be good edge rushers for Indiana. And then that quote-unquote bowl position, which is, you know, another name for a rush defensive end. Greg Gooch, Nile Sykes, two guys that moved from linebacker. And I think that this position suits them better than linebacker did, so it'll be interesting to see how they have adapted to it. They've said all the right things. They've looked like they've improved throughout practice and training camp, but you know, we'll see how it is when they're going against actual, you know, competition. So it's a unit with a lot of question marks, not a ton of depth there, especially in the middle. I think the biggest concern would be what happens if during this time that Robert McCray is out, what happens if Green or Hoff or, you know, heaven forbid, both of them get banged up and are unable to go in a game, how does Indiana generate any type of interior run defense, and what do they do to stop them getting run over? I think the most intriguing thing from a coaching standpoint is going to be, what do they do to kind of generate a pass rush? Now, the players still have to do it, but the coaches can scheme things up that you can generate a pass rush without having elite pass rushers. So, you know, how do they do it? Is that going to be Tigre Scales on blitzes? Is that going to be some stunts up there? You know, you mentioned earlier in the podcast, I think during spring ball, that they were working on kind of defensive line up front stunts to kind of get around offensive linemen in different ways than what you had seen at previous Indiana camps. So I'm just interested to see how the coaching staff utilizes the personnel they have. If this defensive line underperforms and indeed is a weak link, you know, it's going to create problems from the back, you know, from the front on back. I mean, it will create problems for the linebackers because they will not be freed up to make plays, create problems for the secondary. If there's no pass rush, obviously the longer they have to defend, the more likely, I mean, you can't ask your secondary to defend, you know, for 5 or 6 seconds against good receivers. They'll eventually get eaten alive. And that'll happen with any good secondary. So
that it might be forced.
It's going
to
be a big reason for concern. Yeah, yeah.
Especially if
you
have to send the Husky and the linebacker, you're going to play man on man most of the time, and that's what happened last year, is that they ended up blitzing and playing man on man, and it hurt them in the secondary. So, yeah, that defensive line, you know, best case scenario, let's say McCray comes back mid-year, at least he'll be fresh. He's a fresh body. You could step up in there after, you know, after the guys have played 6 or 7 games. And that's where the early bye week actually helps, is that some of these guys can get back healthy without missing, you know, too many games. Whereas, you know, if he had the mid-year bye week, he misses six games or 7 games instead of 5, or, you know, whatever the number is. Maybe if he comes back healthy, he'll be good to go and really solidify the depth along there that they have. But they will be in real trouble if Nate Hoff and Ralph Green do get banged up in Big Ten play against, you know, some of these teams. So it's important. This is where depth, Wilson wants to play 10 guys, and IU, he says, has about 8. And you know, reinforcements are coming next year. You mentioned it before with Kagan, and he's a great coach. He's recruiting well. And, you know, this class for next year, you could, the year of beef for IU in that recruiting class. But you know, reinforcements are coming down the road. But this will be something that that this year could, you know, derail the season if they do underperform. But if they could perform adequately, it could be you could see improvements. And it's hard to judge improvements based on stats, because the offensive game is just changed so much, and all the rules and everything favors the offense. So you've seen, you know, you go back, IU hasn't, you know, held teams under so many points since whenever, but, you know, points per game have gone up on average a lot over the last decade or so. So, you know, somebody who's, you know, well, they only gave up this many points in the 80s during Mallory's years, well, the game has changed. It's more up tempo, more, you know, rules favoring the offense, and all that stuff. And the, you know, it's by design. Points, people love watching points and points being scored. So, you know, last year, 38 points or whatever they gave up, 37 points something points per game is way too much. For improvement, enough improvement. You know, if they can get it down to 30, maybe even crack the 28s, you know, that should be good enough. If you get into the 20s, that shows real improvement.
Huge. Huge.
If you could hold a team, you know, if you can improve to 30 points per game, you know, that's solid improvement. That'll shoot you up the list a little bit in terms of rankings. But if they could be somewhere in the 70s in terms of total defense, look out. You know, you're going to have a real, you know, teams of the Big Ten should be on notice. If they could get this defense, you know, turned around, get it into the middle of the pack, and then go from there, look out, because they're going to beat somebody. And they're not going to be a playoff crasher, but they'll be a party crasher. They'll crash somebody's playoff party in terms of Michigan, Michigan State, Ohio State, you know, teams like that who are vying for a Big Ten title. But anyway, TJ, we are out of time. Good news is that our next podcast will be our pregame show for FIU.
Yep.
We'll go over everything FIU, IU, matchups to watch, you know, game day coverage, what we think, you know, keys to the game are, everything. Our game week coverage, it's a little odd this year since it is starting on a Thursday. Our game week coverage is going to start this Friday with the Know Your Opponent. That'll come out on Friday. And then we'll have other pieces come out the rest of the week. I believe Tuesday is going to be the podcast day. We're traveling down to Florida on Wednesday. And then we'll get back into regular game week schedules when they start playing on Saturdays again. But it's here, TJ. The first game, the college game, is tomorrow night. Cal in Hawaii in Australia. So, you know, football season's finally here. We made it through the off season, and I'm happy it's here.
Absolutely, yeah. I just want to thank everybody for the stuff on the site and through the podcast throughout the off season, quote unquote, however you want to classify the off season.
It's a loose term,
yeah.
Off season.
Yeah, it's been a really fun ride. We're ready to get into it. Let's hopefully start winning some football games.
Yep. All right. Well, hopefully you enjoyed the defensive preview, and the defense continues to improve on the field, and we'll see what they have next Thursday at FIU. Keep coming back to HoosierHuddle.com for updated content on Indiana football. We'll be having new pieces out every day of the week. And follow us on Twitter at Hoosier_Huddle. We thank you for listening, and thank you for your readership. And we love interacting with you guys, so shoot us a message and all of that. Enjoy the rest of your week. It's the final week without college football.
There are some things that are too good to keep a secret. Like how your Amex Platinum card helps you have the perfect trip. I'd like to check into the Centurion Lounge. Or how it seems like you always get those hard-to-snag tables. Ooh, yum. And how you get the most out of select can't-miss events. With access to the Centurion Lounge, Resi Priority Notify, and Amex card member benefits at select events, you'll have to share. That's the powerful backing of American Express. Terms apply. Learn more at americanexpress.com/withAmex.
I want to tell you a story. It's a story about a scandal, broken relationships, gossip, rumors, money, corporate rivalry, and a broom. A performance-enhancing broom. My name is John Cullen. I'm a comedian, podcaster, and for 20 years, I was a semi-professional curler. And I want to tell you the story about how a single broom almost imploded the 500-year-old sport of curling.
We felt like we were bringing a knife to a gunfight.
It's the story of a superstar and his fall from grace.
Well, I was being dragged through the mud.
It's the story of two brother entrepreneurs with a dream.
Yeah, I said, that's great news.
It's a story of intrigue.
I still don't understand why we want to keep his name secret.
The full story has never been told, so I'm going to tell it. Broomgate, how a broom almost killed curling.
It was a year I'd like to forget.
To listen to Broomgate, search for Broomgate in your favorite podcast app. That's all one word, Broomgate.
We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search. Match. With Indeed. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. So the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/match. Just go to Indeed.com/match right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/match. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
What makes a life a good one? Is it the adventure you have? Or the friends you find along the way? Maybe it's pursuing your passion while striving to protect, defend, and save what you believe in every single day. So what makes a life a good one? In the Coast Guard, we think it's all of the above and more. But you'll have to find out for yourself. Visit GoCoastGuard.com to learn more.
Okay, it's time to commit. 2024 is the year for prioritizing yourself. Begin your new smile journey with Byte, and you could start seeing results in just 2 to 3 weeks. Just order your at-home impression kit today for only $14.95 at Byte.com. Byte Clear Aligners are doctor-directed and delivered to your door. Treatment costs thousands less than braces. Plus, they offer financing options, accept eligible insurance, and you can pay with your HSA, FSA. Get 80% off your impression kit when you use code WONDERY at Byte.com. That's BYTE.com. Start your confidence journey today with Byte.
I normally find bras to be so uncomfortable and constricting, but Skims has changed that. You know I love Skims underwear, so I finally tried their bras, and Skims has delivered again. Skims bras are worth the hype for the amazing shape and support they give, but what I wasn't expecting was how comfortable they are too. I've tried so many bras in the past, and the main issue that I have is that they weren't supportive enough, to the point where they felt slouchy. I love my Skims wireless form bra because it's so comfortable and supportive. The older I get, the more I care about actually being comfortable in what I wear every day. And with my wireless form bra, I no longer have to sacrifice my comfort for the support I need. Shop Skims bras at Skims.com, now available in 62 sizes, 30A to 46H. Plus, get free shipping on all orders over $75. If you haven't yet, be sure to let them know we sent you. After you place your order, select podcast in the survey and select our show in the drop-down menu that follows.